Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We had been discussing chapter 16, Daiva Asura Sampada Vibhaga Yoga, divisions of divine and devilish estates. We are all hung up on estate these days because the Republican wants the highest value of the estate you can pass on to your children without any taxes. That's because we consider this estate is something which I have acquired and accumulated. It's mine. Something which is rightfully I have acquired, that becomes mine, and everything associated with it, I consider it to be my estate. Now this my estate I want to preserve because I want to pass it on to my children even after I die. Therefore I don't want the taxes government to take away. But Bhagavad Gita said that this, the only estate you will take away is the quality of your mind and intellect. We have seen in previous chapters and in Vedanta in general that the death is only for the body. The mind and intellect remain intact, identifying as an individuality by its own conditioning. The only goal in life, scriptures tell us, is to uncondition myself from this conditioning so that mama atma, myself, which I consider me, is without any conditioning, becomes the paramatma, the supreme self. The only difference between myself and supreme self right now is myself is conditioned by this conditioning, the limitations on me, my body, my mind, my intellect. The body I know has its own limitations. It was born at time T1, it will die at time T2. That I consider my death. What I do not know about is the nature of my mind and intellect. When it was born, when will it die? Our scriptures tell us that the death of the body is not the death for the mind and intellect. And therefore, to uncondition this mind and intellect is the goal of my life. Therefore, in the scriptures it says, the only responsibility a seeker has is to purify his antahkaran. This antahkaran shuddhi is the goal of all the practices, all the learnings that we have. So this antahkaran is my mind and intellect. The nature of my mind and intellect will decide what kind of wealth I have accumulated over my existence as this mind and intellect. And this wealth is nothing but my experiences and my tendencies. So that the experiences are good, and I have developed a good qualities, my experience was bad, and I developed a bad qualities, that became my estate. So the nature of this estate is now defined into two categories, divine and devilish. That which brings me closer to my supreme self, the Paramatma, the qualities which takes me closer to my unconditioned self are called divine estate, divine qualities. The qualities which will bind me to this world, these limitations, and therefore the sorrows and unhappiness associated with limitations are considered devilish estates. divine is something which is beyond my conditioning. Devilish is something which is tying to my conditioning. So this chapter defines those two estates which I have. And all of us have some divine and some devilish estates, you know. Just like we say, Neil, how about your portfolio? I say, well, there are some good stocks in my portfolio, but then there are some really, really bad ones. Same way my mind and intellect has some divine tendencies and some devilish tendencies. But therefore we have heard that the Mahabharata war is a war in my mind and intellect. Few good thoughts are fighting too many bad thoughts. But few good thoughts, if they are aligned with the Self, the Paramatma, the Shri Krishna, then the war will be won between these good and bad tendencies in my heart. Now, what can I do proactively is to introspect regularly and constantly and see what is the nature of my mind and intellect. Am I more on the divine side or am I on the devilish side? Am I gathering more divine qualities or am I gathering more devilish qualities? I will be only able to do that if I understand what is divine and what is devilish. Now, it has nothing to do, obviously, with Hinduism or any particular scripture or any particular faith. These divine qualities are universal qualities. No matter which faith I belong to or which scripture I study. Because these divine qualities, thou shalt not kill, non-injury, compassion, all that we have learned, is nothing which I need to be taught. That something comes to me naturally. Even when a human beings were cave people, they knew that something which I have gathered with my efforts, nobody should take away from me. And therefore, a good person will not do the same to the others. If I don't want somebody to take away from my efforts, I also shouldn't be taking away from somebody's efforts. So that became a one virtue for a good person. Then there are all the others which I don't want others to do to me. I don't want somebody to hurt me. I don't want somebody to kill me. I don't want somebody to cheat me. So now my good virtues are, I will not cheat anybody, I will not kill anybody, I will not hurt anybody. One of the criteria of a good seeker is defined in Vedanta as, just as even in my sleep, I can never think about hurting myself. Even when I'm completely deluded, I can think about hurting myself. A true seeker, even while in his conscious state, will never think about hurting anybody else. So the good virtues are nothing which is so secret to us. Good virtues are universal, accepted by all cultures, all faiths, and people of all caliber of intellectual levels. But we need to remind ourselves time and again so that we can introspect. So the first three verses which we had seen in chapter 16 define those 26 virtues which are divine. In other words, if I develop those 26 in my internal instrument, mind and intellect, I will get closer to my Supreme Self. My mind and intellect's true nature is pristine. That it has an ability to see the reality as is. It is what I have acquired and superimposed on it as my estates have clouded that ability. Well, therefore, we consider the little children are divine. Little children are the reflection of God. Why? Because they see reality as is. They don't really have biases. I never had a chance to see a little baby growing, because as I told you, I have only one son for up to 3 years. I didn't even know how he's growing up with my in-laws. So I had no idea. But now my granddaughter has given me a chance to see that how a little baby grows from time of her birth to where she is right now, 15 months old. And I could see that gradually she is developing personality. She is developing likes and dislikes. Things which he considers is good for her and things not good for her. Previous to this, her stage is 15 months, she was completely oblivious about it. She knows what is good and what is bad, and that's about it. So our mind and intellect, its very nature is pristine, that it can see through the reality as is. But this coloring of my likes and dislikes which I have acquired has created this veil or this tint on it. So now I'm seeing this world through my tinted glass. So which tint is good and which tint is not good is now we had been discussing. So the first 26 virtues which we have seen are the universal virtues which once developed will purify the mind and intellect, bring it to its own pristine nature so I can see the reality of myself as is. I start seeing that this self is nothing but the Paramatma, is the Supreme Self, just conditioned by my own limitations. Then the next three verses talks about which qualities which are really binding me to these limitations. So the verse 4 says, Dambha, Darpaha, Abhimanaha, Chakrodaha, Parushyam, Evacha, Agnanam cha abhijatasya partha, sampadam asurim. You see the good virtues, now what are the vices? What are the bad qualities I can develop by my likes and dislikes, which can be harmful? First is dambha, hypocrisy. To some respect, if you really introspect, we all do some kind of a dambha. Something which I am not, I am trying to show. Enhancing your resume. Neil, is absolutely necessary in this world. You have to say how great you are. Yeah. You fake it till you make it, okay. So when I came to this country, I obviously came from Africa and somewhat of a trained by British system. Where an architect cannot write his name larger than 2 inches anywhere in the world. So our signboards cannot have the names more than 2 inches tall. You cannot market, you cannot go and advertise. People are supposed to come to me for design and I'm not supposed to go to them. So I was in Houston. I obviously did not have a job. And one of the person who was a contracting company, he was trying to help me. So he gave me a little project. Tiny little project. He said, but Neil, we need a building permit. So, and you don't know the system here, so I'll come with you to the Houston City Hall and help you out. So we were standing in a line for the building permit, you know, application. And just before me is an Hispanic lady who wanted to extend her house. So she was asking this guy and say, but I want a building permit to add this bedroom to my house. And the guy said, do you have plans? I said, no, I don't have plans. Do you have an architect? We don't have. Well, you need to get the plans drawn so that we can give you a building permit. My friend standing next to me said, Neil, tell her that you're an architect. Neil, tell her that you're an architect. That you can draw that plan for her. And I tell her, but how can I do that? She doesn't know me. Unless somebody introduces her to me, I can go and tell her that I'm an architect. That's okay, Neil. Just go and give you a card. I said, I don't have a card, you know. And he got so mad at me. You're never going to make it in this country. He said, this country, you need to walk as if you're the only architect ever walked on this earth. There's nobody as great as you are. That was my first lesson in American marketing. Now, we would consider a dambha. I know in my heart there are a lot of good architects. Much better than I am, right? But dambha, at least I know where I am. But if I make that as my obsession to show the people, it becomes in negative quality. First devilish quality is dambha, showing something other than who I am. Next, darpaha, arrogance. Nobody as good as I am. That's an arrogance, which is obviously overestimation of my own capabilities or evaluation of myself. Next, abhimanaha, self-conceit. Too much pride. I am so smart. Then nobody can cheat me. And that's the guy who gets cheated very easily. I had a client, I kept telling him, this is not right for you. And he kept saying, no, I know everything. You know, let me tell you, I've done so many businesses. I've done that. I kept telling him, you're going to get hurt on this project if you don't listen to me. Neil, I know business. He certainly was the easiest target to get hurt by others. Abhimanaha. These are the qualities, even though I consider they helpful to me, are actually most hurtful to me. Even when we are watching television or a movie, only characters we like in them are one who are the nice guys. We don't like the villains. We are all the people who are very arrogant and pompous. So how can we like in real life if we are like that? How can we expect other people? And in the end, in all the movies and television, who get hurt? Those villains get hurt. They get beaten up in the end and get killed and whatever good stuff happens to them. So, all these vices are only hurtful to me, Bhagavan said. So he said, dambaha, darpaha, abhimanaha. My hypocrisy, my arrogance, my abhiman, my self-conceit, krodaha. I said, well, I'm so great. I said, Neil, we know all about you. I get angry. Then parashyam, harshness. When I get angry, I'm obviously not a very nice person to other people. So my language will be harsh, my actions will be harsh. So parashyam, harshness, and agnanam. All this is only happening because of the one vice which I have, which is ignorance. I am not aware of my own self. I cannot evaluate my own self correctly, is creating all these other vices, dambaha, darpaha, abhimana, krodha, parusham, because I can't evaluate myself correctly. Agnanam. Cha abhijatasya partha sampadam asurim. They are born out of the devilish estate. The devilish tendencies which I have acquired has created these tendencies, this outward manifestation, and we know that. If I think that I'm not getting from this world what I want and I think I deserve, that's where I start showing dambha. I have so much estate. My parents have so much this thing in India. All this I have to pretend because I think the world is not respecting as they should be respecting me. Something which I expected from this world was unreasonable and therefore I'm not getting it, but I'm actually blaming the world. So therefore Bhagavan said, these are hurtful tendencies of your mind and they are born out of devilish, that which is going to keep away from your real self. Devim sampat vimokshaya. Divine quality is to liberate you. For your liberation from this sorrows and unhappiness. Not this dambha and darpa is going to help you. Even though it seems like right now that I need to do that. However, the divine qualities will liberate you. So, to liberate yourself from this conditioning. What is our goal? Our goal is to get out of this conditioning so I will have no limitations. I've come to realize intellectually that myself without conditioning is the supreme self which has no limitations. Bhagavan said, Daivim Sampad Vimokshaya. For that liberation, divine qualities are necessary. Nibandhaya Asuri Mata. And in my opinion, this asuri qualities will bind you to these limitations. more am I bound to my limitations, more I will not get what I'm looking for, which is unlimited happiness. Ma sucha. So now once we listen to this, we start thinking, boy, I really think I have so many of these devilish traits. So I'm a gone case. Bhagavan said, Ma sucha, don't worry. Sampadam devim abhijatosi Pandava. Oh Pandava, oh Arjuna, you're born with these divine qualities. Now we think Bhagavan only telling Arjuna, that Arjuna, you are, because you are my cousin and you're such a nice guy here. Bhagavan is telling you and I, because Arjuna only represent you and I in this dialogue. Bhagavan said, don't worry. You are actually born with these divine qualities. Actually, all the devilish qualities which are developed are because of my ignorance about myself. My true nature is actually all these divine qualities. Therefore, I like when I watch TV and see a good man. If I start liking a villain all the movies, then there is something I have to think about. But Bhagavan says, you are born with all the divine qualities. That's your real wealth which you came with. Everything else actually you acquired by not knowing that this is going to hurt you. Then my little granddaughter, well, she doesn't want to get anything which you have bought for her as a toy. She wants everything you don't want her to take. My cell phone, knife, pen, and we want to take away from her. It's going to hurt you. And she wants to fight back and say, no, I made a lot of efforts to get it. I reached out and grabbed it, and now you want to take away from me? You can't take away from me. I know as an adult that it's hurtful to her. She doesn't know it's hurtful to her. She's fighting to keep that with her, something which we know can hurt her. Same way, all the divine qualities which we have forgotten. But the thing which you acquire will hurt us. Bhagavan said, don't have that. He said, no, how can I let it go? And I acquired it. I worked very hard for it. Bhagavan said, it's going to hurt you. So, oh Arjuna, don't worry. You're born with divine qualities. All you have to do is focus back on your divine qualities and get rid of your devilish qualities. In the last verse we had seen says, Dvau bhuta sargai hi loke asmin daiva asura evacha. Loke asmin, in this world which you and I can identify as my field of experience, bhuta sargai hi dvau, two types of people in this world, daiva and asura, divine and devilish. Devo vistarasaha proktaha. In the first three verses, I already told you all these divine qualities. Really requires no commentary. These three verses, Bhagavan didn't even make any introduction. He didn't even elaborate. He didn't create a stage for it. Just came out and gave you these 26 qualities. Why? They are so natural to you. You don't need anybody to give you a commentary on it. Somebody says non-injury, I understand, don't hurt me. Very simple. Compassion, be nice to me. It's your natural tendencies. However, the devilish, Devo vistarasaha proktaha asuram parthameshrano. I'm now going to tell you how this devilish quality is going to hurt you. I already gave you in a brief all this dambha, darpaha, abhimana, parushyam, krodha, agnan are the devilish. But I'm now going to give you in detail what these devilish qualities are. We'll stop right here.
Om sarve bhavantu sukhina, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukkha Bhag Bhave. Om Shantihi Shantihi Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.